ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
To the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 151 of the report, and man, we are back after about a month. We back on the mic, man. Rock with me. I got that boy Gordon Banks playing right now, so rock out with your boy. Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. We are back. Back on the mic after about a month here at the Span Report Podcast. Man, it is so good to be back here, man. It's been a long time coming. I swear to God, man, I did not want to be away this long. I swear I didn't. But, you know, sometimes life gets in the way, man. And it's one of those things, man, where, like, sometimes you can't necessarily control everything going on around you as much as you would like to. But we back, man. We are back. Back to the grind, back to talking about this shit that's going on in the world, back to talking about this politics, back to talking about this pop culture, back to talking about these sports, all of this shit, man. We are back to it, man. If you are watching live, as you can see, the atmosphere is a little bit different, right? The atmosphere is a little bit different. I am not in the same place. I've moved, man, and that's exactly why I have been away for so long, man. Most of this equipment and everything have been packed up. And I couldn't do the show, man. I had to pack up and get all of that stuff up out of my old apartment. And so that's part of the reason why you haven't had a show for over a month. It's been about a month since the last time I did a show. I think the last episode I did was like February 19th. And we're on March 23rd. So yeah, man, it's been a while since the last time you guys have heard from me, man. And it's great to be back, man. I hate to repeat myself as much as I am right now, but it is good to be back. But before, of course, I get into everything Span Report related and this news and everything else, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play those messages on the show and respond to you right here on the show as well. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails, and of course, I'll read those emails here live on the show as well, man. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there, and we can chop it up throughout the week and get our chat on, man. Real talk. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. All of the podcasts are available there. The videos that I use while I'm doing the show are available there. Everything is available at thespanreport.com. The polls. You can donate to the show if you'd like. Everything is available there, right? And not only that, man, I haven't not only been moving physically, but I've been moving digitally as well, man. Of course, one of the last episodes that I did on YouTube, man, I want to say it was episode 149. That video was muted on YouTube for the Jay-Z song that I started that episode off with, right? And of course, you guys know, man, I do the songs, you know, right before the show, man, just to get us just kind of like, you know, ease us into what, you know, what we got going on for the night's events or whatever else, man. And sometimes it's like a song that I'm just feeling right at the moment. Sometimes it's a song that can kind of lead into what the theme of the show is going to be about for the night. And like that Jay-Z song, I liked the song. I felt like I was going to play it on the show. And for that 1 minute and 30 seconds of the song that I played, it muted. YouTube muted a full nearly 2 hour podcast on YouTube. So basically that video of the podcast is useless. You can't hear anything. You can see me and you can see me, you know, my mannerisms and everything else, but you can't hear a goddamn thing because of the copyright claim that was put in and they muted the video, which makes the video useless. So I was getting a little sick and tired of dealing with YouTube and getting these copyright notices every episode, man. I was getting these copyright notices and most of them were just like, you know what, you know, you're not in any trouble or anything, you know, just that the owner of this copyright is now going to be getting statistics on your video and they're going to be able to monetize off of your video and everything else. Now, mind you, I'm not making any money off of this podcast. And I'm not really, you know, to be quite honest, like I've been doing this for nearly 7 years. I haven't made a dime really off of this podcast, man. Everything I do is really because I enjoy doing it and I like getting on the mic and telling you guys what I think about things, and I enjoy the fact that some of you, that you guys like listening to me, you know what I'm saying? So like I didn't even care that they would be making money off of those videos, but I did care that, yo, they straight up muted the shit and you couldn't hear it if you decided you wanted to watch it on YouTube. So what I decided to do was, yo, man, I'm going to move the show to Crowdcast. Now, of course, we used to do the show on Spreecast at one point, and Spreecast went away. Crowdcast actually cost your boy some money. You know what I'm saying? Like, but again, I want to do this for you guys, man. As much as this is therapeutic for me, I want to do this for you guys. So I decided to take the show off of YouTube. Maybe at some point in time, I may, if I'm able to somehow like kind of rip the video off of this and maybe edit out maybe the song at the beginning, you may see these episodes on YouTube again. But for right now, fuck YouTube. Real talk, man. Not only that, I wasn't the only one dealing with issues, man. Chris over the Insanity Check, man, like they had totally taken his fucking channel down because of copyright claims. And they didn't give him a chance to appeal. They didn't give him a chance to rectify what he was supposedly doing wrong before they just snatched the whole fucking channel down. And the way that they do things over on YouTube when it comes to you know, copyright claims is real heavy-handed over there, man. Real talk. So no more YouTube right now for the foreseeable future when it comes to the Span Report podcast, man. So when you want to watch the show, join me here at Crowdcast, man. Subscribe to the show at Crowdcast. You get an email alert right before we go live, man. And you can participate in the chat room. You can ask questions, man. All of that is available at Crowdcast. And hopefully I can take these videos and put these over on thespanreport.com as well. So you guys can check the videos out later if you decide you want to watch the podcast as opposed to listening to it on your iTunes or your Google device, right? So that's been going on. Let's see what else, man. Yeah, moving. I've been moving for like the past month, man. Like, I finally got a house. Got up out of the apartment, man. Got up out of that apartment living. Finally got enough room for my shit and my wife's things, right? So, when I first moved into that apartment, man, it was just me. You know what I'm saying? It was just me, and then my wife moved in a little bit later. And I had an office. I had the second bedroom. I was using it for an office. But when my wife moved in, she's like, yo, babe, I'm going to need some place for my parents to stay when they come down to visit. And so I gave up my office. And, you know, we put our, you know, second bedroom there. And, you know, when my in-laws come by, when my daughter comes by, they'd have somewhere to, you know, to lay their heads, man, when they come by the crib. And, you know, like, so a lot of the times you guys watching me doing the podcast, man, I was sitting right in my living room doing the podcast. So now I got my own space. My wife has her own space, and it's good, man. It's an adjustment going from living in an apartment to living in a house, man, because, you know, I haven't cut grass in about 9 years. I haven't shoveled snow in about 9 years. Your man Span hasn't done any of these things. I wasn't responsible for any of that shit. That's the one thing good about living in an apartment, man. Like, yo, something goes wrong, you can call somebody and it's their responsibility to come out and fix it. The heat's messed up. Yeah, you need to come out here and fix the heat. Yo, my stove's messed up. You need to come out here and fix the stove. Like, all of these things I had no responsibility for, and now I got to go buy a lawnmower. I was out here, like, last week shoveling snow, man. I hadn't done that in a long time, right? And so it's an adjustment, man, dealing with that. But it's also a good thing, man, because now when I want to have folks over, man, I got the room. You know, I'm trying to set up my little man cave in the basement with the TV and the video games and shit. Like, I got that shit getting ready to pop off. I'm trying to automate this whole crib. Like, I want to make it a smart home and shit. So I got, like, Google Home and shit. Like, I'm going to put those in, like, damn near all the major rooms and stuff, right? And then I'm going to, like, have it to where, like, you can voice activate the lights and be like, you know, Google, turn on the lights in the living room or some shit like that. I'm going to trick this motherfucker out. I got plans, man. I got plans. Real talk. So I'm excited. I'm excited about this, man. I'm excited about this physical move. And I'm also kind of excited about this this digital move as well, man. So we can actually just get to the business of podcasting and talking about this shit that we really want to talk about, man. But not only that, of course, I got some stories about moving. And one of the things that happened while I was moving, man, like I decided this year, like every time I had ever moved, it was me doing it by myself with one other friend, right? So I usually never really had that much shit. So the first time I moved into like one, I had a one bedroom apartment. When I first started this podcast, I had a one bedroom apartment. I was living by myself. And when I first moved in that place, I had my bed. I had a big ass bookshelf. I had a couch and, you know, my TV and stuff like that. But most of the only thing I needed help moving in was my bed and my couch and the bookshelf. That was it, right? So fast forward to when I get to this other apartment where I just moved from, and now I got a bedroom set, and now I have a wife, and now I have another bedroom set, and now I have living room furniture, and now I have dining room furniture, and I'm like, yo, man, I'm not moving this shit. I'm hiring movers, right? So I decided to go with 2 men in the truck. And like I had, you know, quoted, I got, you know, priced around and stuff. I had a few people that I was looking at. One guy, he like emailed me from like his personal email. I'm like, I don't even know who you represent, dude. My wife kind of like had him like call me and all this other stuff. But I'm like, dude, I don't even know who you represent. So he didn't get my business. But I went with 2 men in the truck, right? Excuse me, I'm suffering with a cold right now. So my voice is a little bit off. But yeah, so I got 2 men in the truck. And 2 men in the truck quoted me like $115 an hour plus like another $110 traveling fee, right? So off the bat, I'm looking at like a smooth $350. And I was like, yo, man, I could probably like got some of the homies together and move this shit. And it'd probably cost me like pizza and wings. You know what I'm saying? You know, you look out for your homies in a way like, yo, man, I'm going to feed y'all. That's how a lot of cats get, you know, kind of do it with the homie hookup, man. Y'all help me move my shit, and I'm going to feed y'all for the night. But I was like, you know what? I want somebody that's insured, bonded, and all that stuff. So if something happens to a wall, something happens to my furniture, it's covered, right? So I went with 2 men in the truck. They come to the place, and I only really wanted them to move the big shit. So I only wanted them to move my bed. I only wanted them to move the 2 couches that I got. I only wanted them to move my dining room set. I only wanted them to move, like the big shit. I didn't really want them moving a lot of the small things because a lot of that stuff we were moving in periodically over the course of the last few weeks. Some of this stuff has already been here. So they get there and it was, real cool dudes, man. They were real cool dudes, man. Like they came in, they were wrapping shit up. They were like lifting shit. They were moving shit. Like, and you can tell professionals, man, professionals move shit. They got a methodical way of how they do it because they've done it so many times. Your homies are still trying to figure out how to get this couch through the hallway. Right. So, excuse me. So they're moving my shit or whatever. And as they're moving my stuff, like, I'm like, okay, we're still kind of like packing things up. You know what I'm saying? Because we, of course, we still staying in the apartment. We still had things that we needed. So we're still packing things up. And I decided, like, okay, I needed a box. And so I went down to my storage unit in the basement to go get this box so I could put some of the things that I usually have on my nightstand and stuff like that. I put those things in there. And I go downstairs, and I unlock my locker down in the basement, and I go get this box, right? And, like, we're moving things along, moving things. And now I'm looking for my keys. Can't find my keys. I asked my wife. My wife is like, yo, babe, I haven't seen them. And I'm asking my in-laws, because my in-laws are helping me move, and they hadn't seen them. And one of the movers said, well, you know, I saw some keys. They were here on the table, and then I moved them to the couch. And then when we packed up the couch, I moved them over to this chair over here. And then after I moved them to the chair, I didn't see them, right? So he's telling me he's seen some keys, and he moved them. And I'm thinking to myself, why didn't you just say, here's some keys, right? So we're doing this. He didn't give me the keys. Like, I can't find my keys. And now the keys are to the new home, it's to the apartment, and it's to my car, right? So the hood nigga in me is thinking, like, I know this motherfucker ain't trying it, right? I know this motherfucker ain't trying it. Like, I got suspicious instantly, right? Like, is this motherfucker trying to steal my car? You know what I'm saying? Like, or is he trying to, like, set it up to where he can come back here later and maybe get some shit, or come back to the new house and get some shit? I didn't know. So now I am, like, kind of scowling over these dudes, right? And now my wife is a little nervous because she's, you know, she's seen me upset and she's just giving me space. My in-laws has never seen me upset like this. Now, I'm not one of those type of dudes that, like, are... I'm not one of those dudes when I'm upset that I'm doing a lot of hooping and hollering. I get real fucking quiet when I'm upset. And now I'm just, like, staring daggers at you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm one of those kind of people. I don't hoop and holler. I get real quiet when I'm upset. Right? So, they're moving stuff around. And I'm telling them, I'm like, listen, dudes, listen. We need to find those keys. And they're like, well, maybe it's in the truck, you know, in the couch or something. Maybe we wrapped it up in the couch. Maybe it's in the truck. I'm like, oh, it better be. It better be, right? Those are the keys to my car. Those are the keys to the apartment. Those are the keys to the house. Those keys better be in that furniture, right? So I kind of stopped looking for the keys, and I'm still trying to, like, help, you know, move things around and stuff like that. I'm still pissed. My in-laws, again, they've never seen me like this. Like, not really wanting to say anything to anybody because I am pissed right now, right? So we get to the house. And I'm directing the guys, telling them where to put stuff. Okay, that goes in the second bedroom. That goes in the third bedroom. That goes in the basement. That goes in the living room. That goes in the dining room. Doing the directing. They move everything in. Still ain't found my keys. After they moved everything in. So now we got to talk about paying these motherfuckers. Now he comes up. So I'm upset. You done lost my damn keys. And moved everything in. You done lost my damn keys. And now you're talking to me about payment. Because I still owe, like, you know, we moved in about 3-4 hours. So I was almost about $400 or something like that for them to move or whatever. So I'm like, yo, this is a problem. I don't have my keys, man. And I made them empty their pockets. I know. I made them empty their pockets. I felt like, and I didn't want to do it, but I was so fucking heated that we couldn't find my damn keys. And, you know, the dudes that they were, they was like, look, man, I get it. I ain't got them, but here. You know, they emptying their pockets. They emptying shit out. And I'm thinking, of course, my keys weren't there. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, maybe these motherfuckers got my keys in their truck. They knew that I was going to ask them to empty their pockets. So they left the keys in the truck. Right? I'm still heated, man. Didn't find my keys. So now it's just me, my wife, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. We're standing around, and I'm like, I got to find those keys. So I took my wife's car. I said, I'm going to go back to the apartment, and I'm going to go look for those fucking keys. Go back to the apartment, and now I'm trying to backtrack. You know what I'm saying? I'm backtracking. I'm like, oh, what did I do, man? What, you know, where was I? How many things did I pick up? Where did I move? And all these other things. And I started backtracking, and then it hit me. Then it hit me that I went to the basement to go get a box for the things in my nightstand. And I'll be goddamn if my keys weren't hanging off of the locker from the locker, you know, from the old apartment. And I felt like shit, man. I felt like a complete dick. I felt like a complete straight up asshole. I felt like I should be punished with my farts always feeling like I got a shit at the tip of my ass. That's how bad I felt for the way that I treated those dudes. Right? Because I lost my keys. Nobody else did it but me. I lost my keys. I felt like a complete dick. So I ended up like calling, you know, the two men in the truck company or whatever and apologizing to those guys. I even like kind of like I felt bad, man. So I tipped them like $50 a piece, man. Like I felt like shit, like they didn't deserve the treatment that they got from me because they were professional throughout. They moved everything in a speed, in an expedient manner. I'm thinking like, you know, because sometimes, man, you go into this thinking like, yo, at the rate that they're charging you, that they're trying to extend how long that they're going to, this move is going to be. And so I'm thinking like, this is the tactic that they were using. They lose my keys and now we got to spend all this time looking for my keys. And that's not what they did, man. They moved my shit in and like, all right, well, we got to go. Hope you found your keys. And so, yeah, man, that, that old hood nigga, man, that shit kind of came up out of me, man. And I felt bad. I felt really, really bad, man. And but they were cool about it, man. And I appreciate two men in the truck for helping us get all of our things into our new home, man. Now, another thing, too, man, about moving. And this is something that, I got to do some fucking self-reflection, man. Real talk. So I'm moving. This is before the big move, before we move into big stuff. But I'm moving some stuff into the house. And my next door neighbor, a guy named Devin sees me and he calls me out by name. And I'm like, yo, how the fuck does this dude know me? Then I thought about it. My wife said she had met him prior and that, you know, she told him, you know, some things. And I was kind of like, okay, in the back of my mind, I'm like, that's too much information, baby. You shouldn't be telling people this kind of shit. But okay, dude knows my name. So now we're talking or whatever. And he's telling me about the neighborhood. He's like, yeah, man, it's a real quiet neighborhood. It's a mixed neighborhood, man. You know, we never really have any trouble over here. People, you know, kind of look out for one another. And then he said something to me. He said, like, yo, man, like, if you're ever having any problems, you know, and you need to call a policeman, if the police are taking too long to get here, man, I'm right next door. Knock on my door. We strapped up over here. Right? So I'm looking at, like, when he said this to me, I'm thinking, yeah, one, A, that's good to know. And B, I didn't know if I could trust it. Right? I'm so cynical now. Like, I didn't know whether or not this dude was being genuine. I didn't know whether or not this dude was just trying to butter me up to get me to let my guard down so that he could set something up for later. I am like that hood nigga shit that's in me, man. Like it's hard to do away with. Like it's hard. Like I don't like I'm finding it very hard to trust strangers. You know what I mean? And so I felt like I feel like am I overreacting? Is this dude being a little bit too extra and trying to make me feel comfortable? Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You can get one at Teespring, man. I'm gonna put the link up in the chat a little bit later on. But yeah, so like I'm wondering if whether or not he's making me feel he's trying to get my guard down, man. Now you guys know how I get down with that. I probably won't need to be knocking on his door for any, you know, armed assistance and nothing like that. But I just kind of felt like, I'm like, yo, man, there's something wrong with me because I was questioning whether or not this dude was being a real good neighbor or whether or not he was just being, you know, some sort of slick motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, man, like, you know, my neighbors are like real neighborly and shit. Like I had another next door neighbor, a guy named Jerry. Jerry comes over to the house, he knocks on the door, and I'm looking at him like, why is he knocking on my door? Is he just trying to see who's over here? You know what I'm saying? Like, who's the new people? And they're black. You know what I'm saying? So like I don't know, man. Like I looked up the day it snowed and somebody had like snow blowed the sidewalk for me. I didn't even have to do a whole hell of a lot of shoving. I had to shovel out my driveway and stuff like that. But somebody had did that for me. I'm not used to that kind of shit. It's almost like with my wife, man. My wife kind of like buys me things for like my birthday and for Christmas and stuff like that. And it took me a long time to accept gifts. because I'm not used to anybody doing these sort of things for me. And I think that's part of what it is. I'm not used to other people doing things for me. Since I was 17 years old, man, a lot of times, man, I've had this attitude that I'm going to have to do things myself. I don't like asking people to do things for me. And I certainly sometimes wonder if people volunteer though these nice things, whether or not they're doing it because they got a motive behind it. And I got to like kind of, you know, check that to a large degree, man. So that's been going on with me, man. This move has been kind of, it's been a thing. It's been an adjustment for you, man. Real talk. Now, I got a random thought for you guys, man. Hold on a second. All right. So I got this random thought, man. Actually, it's not even a random thought. This is a public service announcement. I am going to tell everybody not to eat Taco Bell before going to bed. All right? Don't do it. It's a trap. It's a setup. Don't do it. Okay? I made the mistake of getting 5 Doritos Locos Tacos and eating those boys, or the Supreme joints. You know, you can't go cheap. You got to get the Supreme joints with the sour cream. Right? But I had 5 of those bad boys right before bed, right? And so I go to bed and I had this crazy ass fucking dream, right? So I dreamt that I decided that I was going to go back to school, right? I was going to go back to Tennessee State University. I was going to re-enroll and I was going to take up graphic design and multimedia. Now, I went to school for graphic design and multimedia at Westwood College of Technology years ago after I left Tennessee State University. But it's a dream. I mixed them together. You know, it happens like that sometimes, right? So I'm in the dream and I'm moving into Watson Hall at Tennessee State University. Now, anybody who's ever been to Tennessee State knows Watson Hall is a freshman male dorm, and it smells like feet and chicken all throughout the hallways, man. Real bad. It's never been good. I was lucky enough my first time going to Tennessee State University when I was there that I didn't have to live in Watson Hall. I lived in Hale Hall, the honors upperclassman dorm, because I was an honor student, right? So that happened. So I'm in this dream, and I'm registering. I'm going to Hale Hall. And so, like, my wife has come down to visit me at the school, and it's weird. Like, my wife is coming to visit me while I'm at Tennessee State University, right? And I'm introducing her to all my old girlfriends from college, right? All my old girlfriends from college, as if these women never left Tennessee State University, right? So that's going on, right? 37 years old, re-enrolling in college, and I'm going into the freshman dorm, introducing my wife to all my old girlfriends that didn't leave school, right? 15 years later. So that's going on. Now, I leave the dorm. And when I leave the dorm, I am in slavery era Tennessee. Right? Slavery era Tennessee. I'm seeing like slave auctions happening on the yard. I'm seeing cotton picking going on like by the student center. And it's weird, this juxtaposition of all these modern buildings with all this antebellum slavery things going on around me, right? But I'm not a slave. I'm just observing. And so I'm on my way to register for classes, and somehow, of course, it's a dream. It jumps across from thing to thing. Somehow I end up on a train with runaway slaves and Harriet Tubman, right? I'm on a train with Harriet Tubman and some runaway slaves. They're on a train on an Underground Railroad, and they're trying to get to the north, right? Now, the train gets stopped. Slave catchers stop the train, okay? We all get out of the train, and they start strapping, chaining everybody down to the train tracks, right? And they were shooting people in the head. They were kicking people in the ass, all sorts of crazy shit. And it turns out that the train tracks were being used to slice niggas up. Like, they were slicing black people up and turning them into steaks and selling the steaks at Walmart. Right? Craziness. Craziness. This is the shit I was dreaming while I was on this 5 taco kick from Taco Bell. So, I am telling you, as a public service announcement, do not partake of the Taco Bell right before bed, man. Try not to eat anything right before bed. It's really bad for you. I've had some crazy dreams, and I keep saying that I'm not going to eat right before bed, but then you get hungry, and you're like, okay, I'm going to have a little snack. And then you had a little snack, and then you had this crazy-ass dream where you're dreaming that Walmart is selling nigga steaks out of the Underground Railroad. Craziness, man. So, yeah, man, that happened. Another thing, too, man, real random thought, though. Real random thought. If you see a man, or better yet, not even that, the Cadillac DeVille or the STS, DTS, that is the official car of pimps and senior citizens everywhere. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, right? Everybody I know that has a Cadillac DeVille or a DTS is either has they either have pimp aspirations or they already collect an AARP. Like, it's happening. It's already going on, man. Another thing, too. If you see, excuse me, if you see a 62-year-old man, black dude, right? If you see a black 62-year-old black dude and he's got like a brand new decked out conversion van, you're going to learn one. Basically, you know all three things, right? There are three things that go with the 62-year-old conversion van driver. One, he's a former auto worker. He's retired. He's been retired for about 5 years. And he's got this conversion van, right? Two, he hangs out at all the blues bars in your city. He goes to every last one of them. He knows all the songs. He knows Theodis Ely. He knows Johnny Taylor, my granddaddy. He knows Clarence Carter. He knows Tyrone Davis. He knows Bobby Blue Bland. He knows all of these motherfuckers. He's at all of the damn blues bars in your city, right? And another thing, that man has been cheating on his wife for about 15 motherfucking years, and he got two sons named Junior, right? And the fucked up part about it is they live three blocks from one another, real talk. So, yeah, man, I was thinking about that. Really random, but y'all know damn well I ain't lying. I'm telling the truth on that, and y'all know it for real, right? So, yeah, that's been going on, man. Now, it's been a while since I've been gone, man. Like, I haven't had a chance to really speak on a whole hell of a lot of things, man. So, like, a lot of things with Trump have been going on. Hip-hop beef has been going on. You know, just a whole hell of a lot of shit. Like, Love & Hip Hop Atlanta is back. All sorts of shit, right? So, while I was away, man, like, the shit, like, the big shit that was going on, man, was, like, Remy Ma went at Nicki Minaj with the new song Sheether, right? So she took the Ether beat and she like kind of eviscerated Nicki Minaj for 7 whole fucking minutes. Now, you got to be pissed off at somebody to be going on and on for 7 whole minutes, man. Like, I've been on here right now, my voice is already tired and it's been 7 minutes. Right? So that was about as long as that is about as long as Remy Ma had did that song, right? And you know, one of the things about it, man, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. What Remy Ma said, like the lyrical content of the song was fire. Let's not get it misconstrued. What Remy Ma had to say on the song, like, was straight heat. Make no mistake about it. But at the same time, I kind of was left wanting a little bit more. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of felt like her delivery was a little flat. Like, she wasn't as animated as someone who's pissed off at somebody in the way that you saying a 7-minute song would be. And so I said it on Facebook. I said it on Twitter. I was like, I kind of felt like the delivery was flat. Great song. Delivery was a little flat. Left me one more. Sounded like she was reading the book report. That's how I felt about it, right? I know it's not a popular opinion. I know that's not how everybody felt. But that's just how I felt about it, right? And it's not about being contrarian or anything. It's just like, yo, that's... I kind of felt like she should have had a little bit more energy with the delivery of that song, right? And so, it was a couple things that kind of, like, hit me with this. One, I did not know that Remy Ma had so many, fans of her rap. I really didn't. I didn't really know that Remy Ma had this many fans of her as a rapper. Now, I know a lot of folks like currently they like Remy Ma for the story on Love and Hip Hop and the love story that she has with her husband Papoose, and they love that relationship. They love how genuine they are. They love how connected they are together, and they do their business together, and how he looks after her, how he can, you know, he takes care of her, how he's trying to mold. He wants that family with her. He wants another baby and all these things, man. And folks love that shit. It's a great story. And so again, I was surprised by the amount of fans that she had for her rap, because I didn't remember folks really checking for Remy Ma as a rapper before then. That's not to say that it wasn't happening, right? That's not to say that it wasn't happening. I just didn't remember folks loving Remy Ma as a rapper like that, right? And so, you know, one of the things with this beef with Remy Ma and with Nicki Minaj was, like, you know, of course, Nicki Minaj is, you know, one of the more popular pop artists / hip hop artists in the world right now. Of course, when you talk about beef, when it comes to these, you know, when you talk about beef, period, a lot of times it's going to come back to the numbers, right? People are going to talk about, you know, who sells the most, whose concerts are selling out, how many venues you book, you know, all these different things, man. Whose videos are being played more on YouTube, because we don't have the video channels anymore. BET ain't playing them, VH1 ain't playing them, MTV ain't playing them. So that sort of thing kind of gets weaved into the discussion, and folks try to, you know, when it's funny how when folks are rooting for the underdog, they try to discount these things, these things that make someone popular. They try to discount these things and try to, you know, make it all about this particular thing that the underdog is doing. Well, what about the lyrical content? What about what they're saying and things like that? And it's all valid. But they start discounting all of these things that make Nicki Minaj popular to prop up Remy Ma, right? Excuse me. So I'm listening to the song and I like the song. Well, like I said, I wanted more. I thought she could have had a bit more energy with the song. But then I started noticing, what also kind of caught me off guard was the amount of folks who didn't like Nicki Minaj. Because Nicki Minaj has been popular for a long time, and it kind of made me think about a line Jay-Z said about something about die and be a hero, or live long enough to see yourself become the villain, something like that. And maybe Nicki Minaj has, because she's been like pretty much the only female MC who's been up and promoted for so long, folks are a little bit tired of Nicki Minaj, and maybe that's where this comes from. But you know, one, it was a couple things that I kind of took away from this. One, rap beef, the rules have kind of changed. Our expectations for rap beef have kind of changed over the years, right? So I remember when Jay-Z came out with Takeover, and that was in September of 2001. I was at Tennessee State University when that shit dropped on the Blueprint. That shit came out September 11, 2001. Takeout came out, and we didn't get Nas's response until December. So we waited a whole 3 months before we heard anything from Nas in response to Jay-Z. Remy Ma dropped this song, and folks expected Nicki Minaj to drop a response to this diss within at least the next day or 2 days, right? And I think we got Drake to blame for that, right? Because he came out with Back to Back like 4 days after he had dropped, I forget the initial song he dropped against Meek Mill. It's been a minute. But he dropped Back to Back 4 days later, and Meek hadn't come out with a response yet. And so the response time is a bit different. We expect instant gratification when it comes to these beefs now. You can't be caught off guard. You can't, you know, be blindsided, so to speak, when it comes to these beefs, because, you know, like I said, we have this microwave, instant gratification. Everything's instant for us, man. You got YouTube, you got, you know, Twitter, microwaves, all of these things, like everything's fast. So Nicki Minaj didn't respond in as fast a way as folks would have liked for her to, and were already declaring her a loser before she ever said anything. Now, she came out with a few bars on a song where she featured Drake and Lil Wayne, and folks were
upset that, okay, so this isn't a diss song because now you went to go get the crew and you can't have a diss song with the crew. Like, it was weird. It's weird seeing these, the different ways in which the different ways in which we legislate the beef, because Hit 'Em Up had more than just Tupac on it when he was talking about Biggie. I mean, he had the Outlaws on it too. I know they're forgettable, but Hit 'Em Up had Tupac on the first verse and then he left it alone. Everybody else from his crew was on Hit 'Em Up, and Hit 'Em Up is still seen as one of the more scathing beef songs of all time, right? People still play Hit 'Em Up to this day, almost 20 years later, right? So you got that going on. So you can't have the crew on, and there's certain things that are unacceptable for you to say, right? So, you know, Remy Ma went in. Like, she talked about Nicki Minaj having a brother who was accused of a statutory rape or something like that, and Nicki Minaj had to pay to get him out of jail. You know, family ain't going to let you sit in jail when you got the bread. They're like, nah, you got to go get him. You know what I'm saying? So Remy Ma went at that. She spoke on that. And even in an interview with, she was on a podcast Another Round, she talked about with beef and you're mad, everything's on the table. But it was interesting to see that folks were saying for Nicki Minaj, the if she were to bring up the fact that Remy Ma had the miscarriage, I forget, it's something with the fallopian tubes. I forget exactly what the name of the condition is, where she can't have a natural like childbirth. And I know I may be fucking that up, but basically, if Nicki Minaj were to say anything about that, then somehow she was crossing the line. She was going too far, right? And so it's like, it was interesting to see how folks kind of like, they got into their camps and they made up these rules as to what a response was supposed to be, with how, you know, whether or not the response could go too far, how many combatants can be within the response, all sorts of things, man. But at the end of the day, I felt like Sheether, as good as Sheether was, I still wanted more when it came to the delivery of it. I felt like she was reading a book report. That's just how I felt about it. And so another thing too, man. Hold on, let me take, because my voice is just killing me. Hold on a second. All right. Now, another thing too, man, that kind of happened was, while discussing this beef with some fellas at work, I was talking about fandom and how I was talking about how I was surprised by how many people were Remy Ma fans of being a rapper. And of course, we talked about how, you know, numbers come into play. Like, okay, you know, money comes into play. So, okay, your fans are paying for your concerts. They're paying for your, you know, if you're in a movie, they go to see you in a movie. If you're if you drop an album, they go out and they buy your album. And one of the things that came up was what it takes to be a real fan, because and we got into a discussion about bootlegging right now. Excuse me. Now, of course, you guys know I've talked about bootlegging a little bit here on the show when it came to, like, you know, movies and using like Fire Sticks and Kodi and all of that other stuff. Right. And I kind of feel like they made it way too easy for us to just get the shit legitimately. Right. Like, if you wanted to see a movie, you can buy it on your device and you have it. You can watch it forever. If you wanted to listen to an artist's whole album, you didn't even have to go buy the album. You can spend maybe $9-$10 on Tidal, Apple Music, Google Play Music, and you got access to that artist's entire fucking discography, and you can listen to their new shit too. Now, of course, they may not necessarily be getting their fair share of the monies from the streaming, but it's a way for you to legally obtain this music and for them to get some sort of compensation when you do listen to their music, right? And then we start talking about whether or not you can really be a true fan of anyone if you're not willing to pay for their content, right? Because that was one of the things that kind of came up. It's like, when we talk about Nicki Minaj's money and when we talk about Remy Ma's money, like, how, like, even the album, I think Remy Ma had an album with Fat Joe, Plateau y Plomo or something like that. and the, you know, the number of sales. Like, okay, are these people who are such Remy Ma fans going to therefore go buy the album to support Remy Ma, right? Because there's a lot of people who are rooting for Remy Ma right now. She's got an album out. Are these people are going to then turn and buy the album? And the guys at work, well, some of the guys at work were just kind of like, yo, like, you know, I might bootleg it. I don't buy albums. I haven't bought albums since I was 17. You know, like, I download everything. I'm not about to pay for these albums. I'll go see them in concert, but I'm not about to pay for these albums. I'll download it. I'll bootleg it. I don't care. And I it made me wonder, like, okay, what is the line for being a true fan? Can you be a true fan of anyone and you decide that you aren't going to buy their product? Right? You like them. You like what they produce, but you refuse to pay for it. And if you refuse to pay for it, are you truly a fan? Is it possible to be a fan if you don't even want to pay for their work? Right? And so, I kind of put it into the mind thing, like, you know, there was a time where, like, hell, I used to download shit illegally, man. Like, there was a time everybody did when, like, Napster first came on the scene and LimeWire and stuff like that. Everybody was downloading shit. And even one of my partners, man, he was like, yo, man, you the one that put me on the download. Now you telling me I shouldn't do it? And it's like, one, if I taught you how to smoke and then I found out that smoking was bad for me and I said, I'm not going to smoke anymore, and then I tell you why I stopped smoking, does that therefore mean, like, you should still continue to smoke, even though I'm telling you now it's bad for you, right? So people like kind of like fall into those lines, but yeah, it's interesting. I kind of want to know what you guys think. I'm gonna put a poll up on thespanreport.com for this episode. Can you truly be a fan if you refuse to pay for the artist's work, whether that be movies, whether that be books, whether that be music? There's a lot of folks out here who call themselves fans of folks, who call themselves fans of the work that these people are putting out, content creators, people who are entertaining you, people who are doing a service. Can you be their fan if you refuse to pay for what they're putting out, right? That'd be like if I put out premium content. If I decided, you know what, at some point, I'm going to have some things about the Spam Report up behind a paywall. And I found out later that somebody who claimed to be a fan of mine was out here, like, downloading my shit and putting the shit that I got on behind the paywall, putting it out there for public consumption, and I'm not getting anything from it. I would kind of want to go see about that motherfucker. And it's one of those things, I guess, as a content creator, you think about it in that way. You know what I mean? Like, yo, if you at your job, right, and somebody tells you, you know what, I really like the way that you file those reports. I really like how efficient you are with how you get this information compiled down into a consumable form where we can all understand it. But then they decided not to pay you. But they're a fan of your work. You know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of bring it to how you as a person would deal with that. Somebody saying they're a fan of yours, but then not wanting to pay you for your work. Right? It's a really interesting concept, man. So I want you guys to hit up thespanreport.com after the show and vote in that poll, man, because I'm definitely going to have that poll up later on, man. Now, another thing I kind of wanted to talk about was Tommy Lauren. Now, you guys know Tommy Lauren has been a member of the Asshat Hall of Shame. She was put in there last year, her along with Donald Trump and let's see, who else is in that? Donald Trump, Stacey Dash, Sheriff David Clark, quite a few people. Kellyanne Conway, I believe, is in there in the Asshat Hall of Shame, right? So Tommy Lauren, as you guys know, blonde hair, blue-eyed, conservative talking head over at The Voice. She has a show called Tommy, and she got famous doing the final thoughts where she was ripping into Beyonce and telling Colin Kaepernick what she thought and calling folks snowflakes who didn't agree with her, right? And so Tommy Lauren has kind of seen a bit of a modernization or a bit of a normalization, a mainstreaming, if you will, of her brand. You're starting to see her on more and more mainstream platforms. It started with The Daily Show, and then you saw her on Real Time with Bill Maher. And then you saw her lately on The View, right? So Tommy Lauren, she's on The View, and they were asking her about abortion. And so while Tommy Lauren was talking about the abortion, she surprised a lot of folks with her thoughts on abortion. Now, I can't show you the video here, but I'm going to play this audio for you guys, and I hope you guys can hear it. So check this out.
The pro-choicers are supposed to be about rare and safe abortions. That's how they avoid sounding like straight-up baby killers, by acknowledging abortion is not a positive thing and a difficult choice. Then we have Lena freaking Dunham out there wishing she could have murdered a fetus, wishing for the option to kill your child. Doesn't exactly say much about the cause, her character, or the pro-choice movement.
Interesting, right? Interesting. This was a month ago. A month ago, she was calling Lena Dunham. She was calling Lena Dunham out for wanting to murder a fetus, right? Just a month ago. Last week, or better yet, earlier this week, this is Tommy Lauren on The View.
Now, I'm pro-choice, and here's why. I am a constitutional, you know, someone that loves the Constitution. I am someone that's for limited government, and so I can't sit here and be a hypocrite and say I'm for limited government, but I think that the government should decide what women do with their bodies. I can sit here and say that as a Republican, and I can say, you know what, I'm for limited government, so stay out of my guns, and you can stay out of my body as well.
All right. Now, for those comments, Tommy Lauren was suspended for a week from her show at The Blaze. Right now, we know that Glenn Beck is he's the founder of The Blaze. He was a former Fox News host. He was one who peddled a lot of conspiracy theories about Barack Obama. He once famously called Barack Obama a racist. He once called Barack Obama a socialist and a Marxist. All sorts of evil things he attributed to the Barack Obama administration, right? Demonized Obama for a good long while. And now Glenn Beck is trying to have some sort of come to Jesus moment, man, where he feels like he is responsible for Donald Trump because of some of the rhetoric that he used over the course of the last 6 to 7 years, right? So he gives voice. His platform gives a voice to someone like a Tommy Lauren, who has been on her show calling Black Lives Matter terrorists, who talked about the Black Panthers being terrorists, who gave Beyonce shit for saluting the Black Panthers, who gave Colin Kaepernick shit for his protest against the national anthem. He gives voice to a lot of these sorts of people, right? So as she says this, The Blaze suspends her. Glenn Beck goes on Twitter to say that she was being intellectually dishonest. He was correct in that, because only a month ago, Tommy Lauren was on her own show calling folks snowflakes and calling the abortion the murdering of fetuses and giving Lena Dunham shit for wanting to have had one. Now, trust me, what Lena Dunham said was some dumb shit. Don't get this fucked up. What she said was some dumb shit. But at the same time, Tommy Lauren has flip-flopped within 30 days on this particular issue. She went from being pro-life to now being pro-choice. And it's interesting. It's interesting for a couple different reasons. One, again, like I said, Tommy Lauren is being normalized. She's being mainstreamed. Even with this suspension from The Blaze, Tommy Lauren is not going to have trouble finding a job pretty much anywhere. Tommy Lauren's going to probably end up on Fox News. Tommy Lauren could probably end up on The View as a regular. Tommy Lauren could probably end up on maybe Russia TV, you know, RT TV. Tommy Lauren has options now. She has her name out there. She's got a loyal following who follow everything she says, who agrees with a lot of the things she says, even though she's 24 years old. There's a lot of things that she doesn't know that she speaks on. There's a lot of things that she has to learn that she hasn't learned, but she has no problem speaking on those things. You know, at 24, I can remember when I was 24, I thought I knew a lot of shit. I'm pretty sure at 36, I'm 36 now. By the time I'm like 52, I'm going to look back at this 37-year-old span, a 36-year-old span, like, yeah, you thought you knew a lot then. You don't know shit. You know what I'm saying? So at 24, she doesn't necessarily have the necessary grasp of a lot of things. Politically, life-wise, she doesn't have this all figured out as much, but she's been given this platform as a thought leader, right? She's been given this platform as a thought leader for some of the things that she says. And what she says a lot of times is dangerous. What she says a lot of times is marginalizing a large swath of people, right? So she gets suspended from the Blaze, and folks are being sympathetic towards her, right? So now folks are like, yo, like, she had this pro-choice, you know, stance, and now her bosses are being unfair to her. You know, like, she comes out as pro-choice, and now they don't like people who don't follow lockstep with their doctrine, right? It's okay for people to evolve. You know, it's okay for people to change their mind after they get a larger understanding. Like, yeah, those things happen gradually, right? They don't always just happen with the flip of a switch. Those things happen gradually. Okay. And so it was interesting to see so many, like, some of the people who would come to her defense to say, well, you know, to talk about how wrong it is that she's being suspended because of her views on pro-choice or being pro-life or whatever. Trust and believe, here at the Spin Report, we have no sympathy for her whatsoever. I don't give a fuck whether or not she has a show or not, because of some of the things that she said, not only about abortion, not only about the pro-choice movement, but about Black Lives Matter, about the Black Panthers, about protest in general, because she doesn't necessarily agree with protest happening whatsoever because they're fucking inconvenient, right? So there's that. But the overarching thing that I kind of want to, like, the overarching thing is this, man, like, her being, you know, kind of like set out as if she's being a victim right now is kind of irritating because of the rhetoric that she spewed over the course of the last year and a half that we've known about Tommy Lauren, right? Now, of course, Tommy Lauren would get on Twitter and Tommy Lauren would get on her show or whatever place would put a microphone in front of her, and she would say she's not a victim. She would say that, you know, she is being, you know, this is just part of, you know, being who she is, and she's not afraid and all these other things. But the way in which folks are rushing to her defense, there's a lot of white feminists who are coming to her defense to say, well, yeah, she has this view on abortion, and we agree with her view on abortion. Therefore, her being fired is wrong, or her being suspended is wrong, when really her view on abortion may just be convenient for the moment because of the fact that she's going to be pretty much out of a job come September. Her contract is up at the Blaze come September. So if her contract is up in September and she's being offered these talking spots on different shows like The Daily Show, like Bill Maher, like on The View, maybe she's moderating her tone for another opportunity. Now, the cynic in me is seeing that. And I'm not being blinded by all of a sudden she had this aha moment about abortion, that she cares about the government being in her body. Right? I know. I find it hard to believe that all of a sudden she has this moment where she feels like the government is intruding on her body when it comes to abortion, when she just a month ago had a totally different view of it. And like I said, a lot of times with issues like this, with issues like racism, with issues with homophobia and everything else, those things kind of happen gradually. People don't just all of a sudden, and it's over like that. And if it's over like that, you kind of got to wonder about the sincerity of how they feel about anything. Right? So, yeah, man, that's happening. Another thing that's kind of happening too, man, and I'm, excuse me. Another thing that's happening, man, is we're starting to see so many different stories about the sympathetic Trump voter, right? Seems like every week we're coming across this new person who voted for Donald Trump, but they're surprised about some of the things that Donald Trump is doing, right? Donald Trump is, he talks so much shit about Barack Obama going golfing, and Donald Trump is going golfing 5 times in his month and a half as being president. Donald Trump said he's going to drain the swamp, and then he puts a bunch of Wall Street lobbyists and political insiders in his cabinet. Donald Trump also has put a lot of incompetent people who have no experience whatsoever into the departments they're running, to cabinet positions. Namely, Ben Carson, who, even as he ran for president, said he doesn't think he's qualified for any cabinet position, but took the Department of Housing and Urban Development spot anyway. Right? So there's a lot of this, these stories coming out about the Trump voter, the sympathetic Trump voter who feels like they got duped. So the latest one is this Trump voter. Hold on, just let me see if I can pull this up. This latest video about this Trump voter who was who's very taken aback by Trump's support of the Republican, the new Republican healthcare initiative that they're trying to pass. Let me see if I can pull this up really quick. Am I spelling this right? Let's see. No, that's not the guy. Okay. Basically, there it is. Because I don't have the video. There was this guy, Trump supporter, went to 49 different Trump rallies over the course of the campaign. He played the guitar at these rallies. He came up with original songs and supported Donald Trump at these rallies. He had a son who had died of an opioid overdose, right? And Donald Trump appealed to him some sort of way. Donald Trump's rhetoric appealed to him. And he voted for Donald Trump. He followed him around across the country, 49 different events. And then Donald Trump's support of this healthcare bill is the straw that broke the camel's back for him. Because this is going to affect his healthcare. His healthcare. And this is the thing with Trump voters, and this is why I can never have sympathy for them. As we see all of these stories come back, or all these stories come out about Trump voters being sympathetic and Trump voters feeling that they're being duped, Trump voters feeling that they're being misunderstood, Trump voters who feel like they didn't know what was going on. Bullshit. For a year and a half, Donald Trump told you exactly how he felt about shit. For a year and a half, those of us who told you not to vote for Donald Trump were telling you these very things were going to come to pass. Interestingly enough, all those folks who were talking about drain the swamp, lock her up, they were talking about the Benghazi thing and Hillary's emails. She's going to be under investigation about these emails. And here we have Donald Trump under investigation about collusion with Russia. Under criminal investigation by the FBI, and they have been since last year. Right? All of these things happening for Donald Trump or to his supporters. So I'm having a hard time having any sympathy for any of these people. I don't have sympathy for you. I don't believe you. Because what's happening here is we have a contingent of people who knew that Donald Trump was out to get a certain segment of the population, who knew that Donald Trump was going to target minorities, Muslims, gays, blacks. They didn't feel like Donald Trump was going to come after them. They cut off their nose to spite their face when it came to their health care, when it came to deportation. There was a lot of there was even some Latino voters who voted for Donald Trump who were being hemmed up by ICE for deportations. Right? I have no sympathy for these people. I don't believe you. And I'm getting a little bit irritated every week we get a new story. I'm telling you, by Wednesday next week, we're going to hear about another Trump voter who's surprised about some of the things that are happening with Donald Trump and his campaign and his administration. Donald Trump submitted a budget and decided that, yo, not only are the Mexicans not paying for the wall, you are. Not only are we going to take money, we're going to take money from Meals on Wheels so that we can bolster our defenses. We're going to spend that money on the military. We're going to get that money to the Pentagon, $54 billion to the Pentagon. The United States already spends more money than the next 8 largest countries combined on our military. They didn't need an extra $54 billion. Our military isn't decimated. But our roads are. We got a lot of people who are sick and shut in. Meals on Wheels cut. And Donald Trump used a lot of historically black college and university presidents for a photo op. HBCUs didn't see any raising of funding for those institutions. And that's I'm not saying that those HBCU presidents should not have gone. But also understand that Donald Trump had no intention on doing anything for HBCUs. So, like, I'm not sympathetic at all to the Donald Trump voter. Not at all. Because for a year and a half, we knew who he was. He showed us who he was. And we knew who he was before even he decided to run for president. So no sympathy from here, from us here at the Spanner Report. Just none. None at all. But yeah, man. It's time for me to get out of here. My voice is still a little scratchy. Hopefully I can get over this, get my voice back. Excuse me. Hold on just a second. Yeah. But before we get out of here, I got to let you guys know. I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with me here. At the Spanner Report Podcast, let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond and kind of also open up the phone lines as we do the show live, man, so we can do that. You can chop it up with me live, and you can leave that voicemail at area code 313-288-0485. Also, email me here at feedback@thespannerreport.com. That's feedback@thespannerreport.com. Leave me those emails. I'll read those emails and reply to them live here on the air as well. Chop it up with me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. And for all these Spanner Report needs, go to www.thespannerreport.com. Check out the podcast. Check out the videos. Vote in the polls. Everything's available at thespannerreport.com. And watch the shows live here at Crowdcast, man. Subscribe to us here at Crowdcast. Be a part of the chat room. Shout out to Breetelligence Wealth, man. I'm going to hit you up with that link to this shirt, man, so you can go ahead and cop one for yourself. But yeah, man, go ahead and join the, you know, join us here at Crowdcast. Be a part of the chat room. And be a part of the show, man. Let's do this together. So I got to get out of here. I got to get my voice to rest. So yeah, we'll be back Sunday. We're going to be doing this again Sunday, man. Back to our regular schedule, Sundays and Thursdays. So yeah, man, until next time, fam. Peace.